Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I am the chair of the Land Use Committee. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. We are being audio taped. I'm going to take a moment to introduce my colleagues, go over the protocol for the evening, and then get right to work. I very much again apologize for our delay. We do try to start promptly at 7 p.m. I know we had a couple people delayed. We have a counselor sick this evening. But again, my apologies. We shouldn't be keeping you waiting, quite frankly. So with that, Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Counselor from Ward 4. In front of me, Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, both members of the committee. Next to him is Councilor Amy Sangiolo, Councilor at Large from Ward 4, not a member of the committee. Behind Councilor Auchincloss is Scott Lennon, President of the City Council, Councilor at Large from Ward 1, the member of the committee. And next to him is Councilor Craig Schwartz, Councilor at Large from Ward 6 and Vice Chair of the committee. To my far right is Rita Young from the Legal Department. Next to her is Michael Gruber from the Planning Department. And next to Mr. Gruber is Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. We have a number of items this evening, but the first three are either getting postponed or withdrawn. So I'm going to try to take those through very quickly. Item 101-17, special permit to extend a non-conforming use at 46 Farwell Street. Brian McDonald, Continuous Improvement Realty Trust in Ward 3. Ms. Khan, when is that postponed until? June 6th. Is anybody hearing that petition? Good. June 6th will take it up. We don't need to vote that, correct? All right. Next, 19-17, a special permit to rectify an already constructed garage at 129 Cabot Street. Michael Mendes. This is in Ward 2, and this is going to be withdrawn without prejudice. Is that correct? There's been a written request in that regard. All right. Any comments on the request to withdraw? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve? Motion by Councilor Auchincloss. All in favor of approval? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor, none opposed. The request for withdrawal is allowed. 80-17, a special permit to allow a six-family multifamily with accessory apartment at 39 Herrick Road, Herrick Road Realty Trust. This was in Ward 6. Also the subject of a request to withdraw, again, without prejudice. Motion by Councilor Schwartz, all in favor of approval. 5 in favor, none opposed. That is allowed as well. The next item is 2-15 parens, 3 closed parens. A request for an extension of time for a special permit at 300 Boylston Street, the Atrium Wellness Center. This is a request to extend the time in which to exercise a permit. This is in Ward 7. Attorney Schlesinger, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Lifetime Center property, formerly the Atrium, will be before you in a couple of weeks for parking review for the ultimate build-out of the property. But this evening, we're here on the permit granted in 2015, which allowed restaurant use and laboratory use for our DNA. So we have not leased the property yet for the RDNA. We'd like to keep the option open. The permit would have expired, except that the board did allow you extend the period for which you can extend special permits from 2 years to 3 years. So we would like to ask you to exercise that right for a third year. The ordinance itself, Ms. Young can explain it, I think, has needed a technical correction to do that, which I think the Zoning and Planning Committee approved last night, so it should be good to go on Monday. But we would like to ask for the extra year on those uses.
So as a technical matter, Ms. Young, since it has not been approved by the zoning change has not been approved by the full council, we can still vote it out of committee and then take it up on first call?
Yeah, I think you can. And okay. When it's really technical, we've already adopted the three-year permission. It needed to be tweaked, and that's what was voted out by the Zoning and Planning Committee. Well, and I don't think there's any controversy.
Okay, good. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? Do I need to, I don't need to entertain any public hearing, correct? Okay. Alright, no questions or comments. This seems quite reasonable personally to me. Councillor Schwartz, do you want to move it? Councillor Schwartz has moved approval. All in favor of approval? 5 in favor, none opposed. Be taken up next week.
2 weeks, I think.
2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alright. I am going to skip ahead to the last item on the list, if I may, just to finish that up. It's 100-17, special permit for a three-family at 62 Walnut Park, and we're in receipt of a letter dated yesterday on behalf of the petitioner seeking leave to withdraw without prejudice. Do I have any comment on that, Councilor Auchincloss? No. Do I have a motion to approve, Councilor Auchincloss? Motion to approve. All in favor of approval? 5 in favor, none opposed. That's approved as well. Okay, we are now going to go to our consistency ruling at 39 Hawthorne Avenue. Mr. Gleba, are you going to take that up? Is there anybody else who's going to be here for that? All right. If the petitioner wants to come up, please, briefly explain what the situation is, and then we'll go from there. Good evening, sir. Your name and address, please.
Good evening, Mr. Laredo. Good evening, council members. My name is John Aroney, my brother Daniel, owners of 39 Hawthorne Avenue. I'm here because I've constructed a wall to the rear of my property that was not on the initial as-built that was submitted. Reason being, we had severe soil erosion and water runoff issues. In order to rectify same, we constructed a two-tiered wall system. The first wall is 5.5 linear feet and is 23 inches high. The second wall is approximately 13 feet behind that, and that is 23 inches high. The combined height of the two walls is 26 and a half feet, 46 inches high. I'm here to respectfully seek approval in regards to the construction of that wall.
Just so we're clear, our role here is not to decide the merits of what you did, okay? Maybe perfectly fine. Probably is better than what you are going to do. Our issue, so we're really clear, is whether what you did is consistent with the spirit. I don't want to say the letter, but the spirit of what we approved. If it is, we can recommend that it's consistent. If it isn't, then we'll talk about what your remedies are. But regardless of how this comes out, I want you to be very clear, and any member of the public here to be clear, you're not without remedy. It just depends what that remedy is. So with that, Mr. Gleba, do you want to provide us with some context here?
Sure. So I have some photos and photos. So this is the background of any special permit to increase the floor ratio. And there is a field of this site plan. As you can see on the screen, this is a renovation of the height and the construction of a new garage to the rear. One of the conditions of the special permit included planting trees along the rear property line to help screen the garage and the space behind it. We received as both rooms including to that, showing this wall system, which is combination of curved and shaved walls on this property and the adjacent property, and the height of signs in different areas are upwards of 4 feet. It is just below 4 feet, next to the staircase, next to the garage, shown here. The same is just about 4 feet in the rear, and it's also referred to be 4 feet between the garage and the right side property line. We received another site plan as this, showing the location of trees that were planted, several inside property lines, but not consistent with those showing the achieved special training time. So in the course of detail, to the left is the special training of the site plan, to the right is the ad best that we defined as a part of the C-O-R review process. The red line in the left to the right is the purple line, on the rolling side, showing the rows. Again, bottom of the row, top of the row. The first is the 4 feet on the left hand side. And the 4 feet on the right hand side, the front of the line and the bottom of the line. Here are some photos. You see the rear of the garage is now level. And so far, the special training showed it remaining as an incline. You can see the walls that they built in their house. And there's a snap line showing the property line. Again, showing how the walls for both the property line. Here, in the rear, you see the rubbed area to the rear being glass. In the sense of the height of the walls. So the closer view, we're getting into the staircase that is now part of the approved site plan. This is the view that can design a square horsey. That's the rear of the garage to the left. And here's the small section of wall that we need to show on the outdoor plan, which is 4 feet high. Within the setback between the garage and the property line there.
Okay. All set, Mr. Greba?
All set.
Ms. Young, could you provide us with some context as to consistency rulings? I know I did briefly, but it would be helpful.
Just very briefly, this is quite unusual because, in fact, it appears as though the property owner has leveled off and incorporated into the flat area behind the garage space which actually belongs to another lot. And so if there is not an easement, there's no legal right to continue that. I understand there's common ownership at the moment, but unless there is intended to be an easement, any subsequent owners are going to be put in somewhat of a difficult position because it's going to appear that they have a right to use that entire backyard when in fact it's on another lot.
So unless they merge the two lots into one, I don't know if that's feasible or not, or they have a legal easement which allows the use, there's a problem here.
I think there's a problem. Now, in fact, it's not a zoning problem so much, but what I'd not like to have happen is this board to approve something by zoning that in fact creates an on-the-ground legal problem in the future.
Have you addressed that issue with council?
So with the current buyer of the new property, we've clearly delineated what the property line is. The as-built that we have provided with Mr. Greber, all of the landscaping has not been 100% completed just because of the winter months. We haven't gotten around to planting the remainder of the trees. As you can see, there's still a tremendous amount of trees that have been planted, and the completion of the landscaping will be done.
I think you're missing the question. I think the question is, have you dealt with getting an easement so that one of the lots, the lot that this is abutting on, is on, there's an easement, so it's clear in a legal record that there's a permission to use it.
Yes, there has been a use easement completed.
A use easement? Has that been recorded?
Upon the closing of the property, it will be recorded, yes.
It might be fine, but I'd like to see it, and any approval ought to be conditioned on the recording of that document.
It will be recorded once we close on the property.
Do you have a copy of that use easement?
Yes, we do.
Can you provide it to Ms. Young?
Yeah, right now. This minute?
Not this minute.
I could have it to you in 24 hours, absolutely.
Sometime this week would be great. Okay, so she can look at it, because we don't want to do something
just along those lines. I understand your concern, and I think that the property line will clearly be delineated with the planting.
Not the property line, it's the legal right to use the land on the other parcel that the attorney Young is trying to
frankly, offer some protection for you, but also to make sure that as we craft board orders, whether we do this by consistency ruling or a special permit, that we're not creating in our order a condition which on its face is not okay. All right, to use probably more layperson's terms.
Understood.
Okay? So, Councillor Schwartz.
Maybe I could clarify my own thinking. So, you just, in your last comment, you said that there's going to be some more landscaping, some trees that will better delineate the boundary. So, is maybe the picture doesn't quite show your ultimate intention. Is there going to be use of any of the property, adjacent property by this homeowner, or is that going to be basically split by some trees so it's going to be a clear border? Is that what I...
It'll be a clear definitive line.
So I think that that might be why it's not going to end up like this where it's an open space. If I'm correct.
Yes, you said
correct. So I'm not sure an easement is absolutely necessary if it's not going to be used by the... It's not going to be an open border. They're going to have a wall, you know, a wall of trees or...
Who's going to pay for that wall? Why you're concerned for the easement?
I find it a little difficult to understand how you would put a line of trees across the property owner on a flat surface that has retaining walls so that the lot that is has the... There will then be a retaining wall on an adjacent lot that has a drop of several feet to another flat area that then has trees on it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but if you intend to install those trees along the existing property line, what is the point, first of all, of the use easement, because you'll be physically, presumably, blocking off the use of that little part by the installation of the trees, and what does that do to the other lot, where at the end of that lot there's a drop-off that is due to the retaining wall? I find it very difficult to understand how this is going to work in the field, but I may be misunderstanding.
You know, I think it would be most helpful. Just give a legal counsel representing you in terms of the easement.
Yes, we do.
All right. Maybe the best thing would be to have your attorney speak to Ms. Young and let them converse about what she's concerned about. Again, this is just an effort to try to protect everyone and do it right. I think that may be the simplest.
And Councillor Schwartz hit the nail on the head. There's going to be a clear delineation of the property lines with additional plantings, and the use easement is to allow them access, additional access to space than this, the initial 9,600 square feet that the lot is. But there are neighbors everywhere that you don't necessarily have to have landscaping or a fence to clearly delineate the property line. But we, in this case, are going to use additional plantings to delineate that property line. What they decide to do with that, whether they use that space as a garden or just plant some hydrangeas, is going to be up to the future owner of One Unity. But the property line will clearly be delineated by additional plantings. And Mr. Schwartz,
I don't think that's what Ms. Young's concern is, but why don't we do this? Let's just have your counsel, have your counsel give Ms. Young a call and they can have a discussion about it. I think that'd be most helpful. Okay? But let's get back to, if we could, the issue of whether we can do this by consistency ruling or not. I will tell you my concern here is I'm not, as I said earlier, I'm not passing on the merits of this at all. Probably the right thing to do, quite frankly, from what I'm hearing. But the question is what was built consistent with what you came in for a special permit for? I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time finding that consistency here, given that there's really such a dramatic change between the two. I'd like to hear from Ms. Young and Mr. Gleba, and obviously, colleagues, you need to weigh in on this.
So this came about as a part of the other process where we took a final look at the as-built to determine consistency. Upon seeing the walls, it is supposed that they were not included in the special permit site plan, so there could be a good reason for them to be built or not. but we were unable to find them consistent with what the two plan was, given the fact that they are fairly large walls, that they create a new usable space behind the garage. So we just were unable to find them consistent for the purpose of the CO. And this is when we look at the two plans side by side. You know, there's a significant difference in enough to require it to be enough.
Ms. Young, do you have some guidance for us?
I mean, I'd echo what Michael has said in terms of this. It's flat space, which actually is now extending onto the adjacent property, even if it's going to be delineated in some manner. It's hard for me to say that the two site plans, I'm not talking about the special permit, but the site plans are consistent with one another. It's ultimately the ISD commissioner's call, but I find it hard to reconcile the two plans.
Okay. And Council Laredo, just, you know, the walls are the site plan is one aspect of the special permit. There was also open space, lot coverage, FAR, numerous other requirements of that special permit, which we did, in fact, which we weren't
asked. That's not the question. The question is what you built consistent or not with what the plans showed when we issued a special permit? I understand that for the vast majority of this, you've probably done everything the same, but there's an aspect of it, not insignificant aspect, that's pretty different. But I want to hear from my Councilor Sangiello. Do you want to?
So this is the first time I'm seeing the plan side by side. I guess I'm just wondering how the process played out, because I would think that during the inspections with Inspectional Services, that they would have seen this wall being built that's not on the plans. So at some point, someone at ISD must have said something, or maybe they talked with the developers at the time so that they understood why you were building the wall.
To get right to the point, we had an issue. We rectified the issue. Okay. When I looked at the city ordinance, I know that the special permit was entered in regards to square footage and the fact that we were constructing a two-car detached garage. So I look up wall restrictions, and what I see is you need a special permit if you're over 48 inches in height. I thought that I was in the right by rectifying an issue and constructing a wall under the 48 inches in height. If I was aware in the slightest regard that I was in violation of any type of ordinance, I would have addressed this a long time ago.
So I'm not suggesting that. I'm just wondering, did ISD, the inspector must have gone out to the site numerous times, right, to see the progress. So I'm wondering if they said anything to you about
that. The first that I was aware that this was an issue was from Michael Gleiber when I was trying to get my certificate of occupancy 3 weeks ago.
So maybe I can help here. So was the wall put up near the end of the project?
No, sir, at the very beginning.
So where was Inspectional Services?
Exactly.
That's your question.
I mean, at some point, you know, the Inspectional Services looks at the plans, right, and they go out numerous times to just see what the progress is. So I'm just curious that at some point they should have seen, especially if that wall was built early on.
Councilor Schwartz?
I think it's a very good question, you know, how this occurred, and we should probably continue that discussion. I just want to make clear to probably audience members and as well as the petitioners that, as you said, I think initially, Mr. Chair, we're not necessarily saying that there's no relief here, okay? I mean, from everything I've read, from all the emails, from your butters, I mean, everybody seems to be very happy with this project. You clearly solved the problem. That was a real problem that you solved in a very nice, good way. Sounds like it's the right thing to do. So I think that I just want to make sure that everybody, at least who's listening to us talk among ourselves, what we're trying to wrestle with is more the processes. We want to make sure that, you know, we can correct whatever might have led you astray or didn't fix the problem before you got into the situation. So we're kind of doing that right now, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that I think getting to that is a good question. I think has there been any conversation with ISD about how this came to pass, or do we not have an opportunity to do that yet, Michael?
So So any discussions we had was, would have been when I was asked to review the C of O. And at that point, that's when I flagged it with ISD, discussed with John Lojak, and that's why we're here now. So it's only at the point for planning when we were reviewing it to see, although that we knew that this was going on.
So I haven't been to the other meetings that you've had with ISD about special permits and enforcement and all that stuff, but, I mean, this clearly is an issue. It shouldn't have to be on planning to see whether or not it complies with our with the special permit that we granted. Right? It should really fall on ISD.
Ideally, I think it would have been fair that ISD would have much earlier in the process spotted this. I think that's a fair observation. President Lennon and then Councilor Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman, you said that the walls were constructed at the beginning of the project, and in reading your email, it mentions that some of this was based on witnessing an adjacent property and what was going on the adjacent property. So, did you construct it just by witnessing that, or you were having actual erosion problems on your property and decided to make this change, you know, sort of while you're in the field? You know, that's what I'm wanting to kind of clarify.
We were having direct issues ourselves with water runoff, soil erosion. There was nothing to hold it back. On paper, it looked beautiful. It was a different story once we got on site. The winter seasons are coming, the snow's melting. It wasn't a pleasant experience. We had to rectify the issue. We had to rectify it quickly. I thought I was doing the right thing. By no means was I trying to skip a step in this process. I mean,
I'm just trying to understand, and I think that we've had discussions in committee before. You know, when we look at certain projects and you get into the field, I know Councilor Crawford has talked about this quite a bit, you get in the field and sometimes conditions change. So I'm just trying to gain an understanding from what you wrote to what was actually happening, because you mentioned the witnessing of the adjacent property. And my thought was, if you were just witnessing what was going on there, you said, well, we should mitigate those steps now before we even do anything. That's somewhat of a different story. If you're in doing your work and you're saying, we got to make a change here, I would echo what Councilor Sangiolo's brought up. As that was going along, who was supposed to be watching that? So I don't think that that's on planning. So,
okay. Councilor Schwartz, and then Harney, please.
Just an observation slash maybe consideration here, which I think in this, you know, we often, I think, or at least our ISD often relies on complaint-driven kind of enforcement, where a neighbor is concerned, you know, let's say this was not both your properties. This is an unusual situation where the developer is kind of on two lots that are adjacent, and so there's no natural kind of neighbor to complain. You're on my side, you're building something that's not allowed or that's going to encroach on my property. So I think that's another factor here that probably played a role. I think ISD probably was focused more on, well, I'm just speculating, I guess, but that might be part of the reason why it might not have come to the attention. Now, obviously, it would be important to debrief the inspector and see, but so much is reliant on the complaints of neighbors, and I can imagine in this particular case that wasn't a possibility or a likelihood.
Councilor Harney?
As some of you may recall, when we granted the special permit, there was a public hearing, and the two builders here spent a lot of time listening to the neighborhood and made numerous changes to their original plans based on input from the neighborhood. So I think from day one, throughout the whole process, they have taken the time and the care to listen, make it a better project. And, you know, my wife walked through that street a couple of weeks ago and said, wow, those houses are beautiful. And they did a great job. And there is flooding in that neighborhood. Other houses have flooding issues. So I think that if you look at the overall plan of restoring an old house, building another house, and look at the overall plan, I think it is generally consistent with
with what we approved. There was another process where they were having serious flooding problems, and as you heard Mr. Arone say, that you know they thought they could build up to that point, and they were trying to solve a serious problem by coming up with a practical solution that would work. And so, I mean, I think they've done everything they possibly could to make this a great project. And as you can see from the emails, and I know some of the people that live in that neighborhood, people are thrilled that they restored an old house. It's beautiful. They built a new house. And I think they've done a great job and have tried to do the best they could. And, you know, if the standard is generally consistent, I would vote and say yes, it is.
All right. Councilor Santiago.
So my only question is, so we talked about that there is some remedy that they could follow.
Let me go through what the remedy would be, and then I'm going to get a sense of the committee. It's not a formal vote, as we all know, and it's ultimately not our decision. It's a decision of the sectional services as to whether or not it's consistent. Just so we're clear, if we as a body say yes, and again, we don't vote, it's generally consistent. That's just our recommendation. It is not binding on anybody. It's just a kind of a sense of the committee. If the inspectional services finds that it's not consistent regardless of what our recommendation, you still have an opportunity for relief, okay? And your opportunity for relief would be to file a request to amend the special permit, alright? If you do that, you're going to give him Mr. Gruber. He'll walk you through the process. You'll have to file some papers. You have to have notice so the public can be heard. But I will say this to you, I will represent you. If you do have to do that, we will work very quickly in this committee to do that process expeditiously, with the idea that we get you heard in July and voted on, if necessary, I would hope, no later than the first meeting in August. Okay? That would be my goal. I'm not saying you have to go that route. I don't know what the commissioner is going to do, but I want to make it clear that you do have an alternative, that we're not just going to leave you hanging out there because you had some unforeseen circumstances. Okay?
Mr. Laredo.
Yes.
The committee has been fantastic to deal with. I've had an amazing experience this whole past year. Me and my brother have poured our blood, sweat, and tears into this. I will be crushed by that day. My carrying costs are insane. I've done my due diligence here to speak with every neighbor. I have letters upon letters. I had a water issue. I tried to rectify it. If I had known I should have gone about this a different way, I would have. I hired drainage engineers, architects to vouch for the integrity of my project. There's got to be...
When are you supposed to close?
3 weeks ago. And I was notified 3 days prior to that that this was an issue. It's unfair. And I respect this committee. I love
it. It's not, as I said, it's ultimately not our decision. So, look, I just want to lay out for you what the alternative is. I would work exceptionally hard if they filed... Could we get them in June, and could we get this heard in June? And to the full board in July? Pardon? That's what I'm trying to ask. I'm just trying to give you alternatives here. I'm not suggesting what's going to happen.
I appreciate it, Mr. Lawrence.
All right.
Can I ask a question? So we take a straw vote tonight to recommend to the commissioner. How quickly is the commissioner going to make a determination?
Pardon?
How quickly will the commissioner make a determination?
I don't know.
If we recommend tonight or not, I mean, we're talking June, July, August.
I don't know how long the commissioner would take to make a decision. Mr. Gruber could certainly speak to him. I would urge the commissioner to do it as promptly as
possible. Well, I'm assuming that he's waiting on some input from us. That's what he's waiting on.
I don't know. I haven't spoken to the commission. We're going to give them our input this evening, one way or the other. I'm just trying, while these folks are here, to understand if the commissioner, in his discretion, which we have no control over, exercises discretion in a way that's not helpful to them, I want to at least play out an alternative for them. I'm not suggesting that's the way we go. I just want to give you the alternative.
So would it be possible to get this heard at the end of June? Okay. So if you file before the, just for the alternative, if the commissioner rules against you, and you file before the end of this week, and the sick leaver could walk you through what needs to be done for filing, we could get you heard in this committee in June, which would get you to the full council on July 10th. Okay? I'm not suggesting that's what you have to do, but we're trying to accommodate you and give you an alternative. If things don't go the way you want them to go, we want you to have an alternative.
So I'm just supposed to walk out of here with a clear mind. Is this decision up to Commissioner John Lojack?
It is. It's not our decision.
He's the one that recommended that I file for this consistency hearing.
Because he often will ask for our opinion. So
okay.
We're going to give him our opinion, and then he's going to render a decision. Okay? So let me just... But I want to give you what the alternative is, if that's not a good opinion.
I appreciate it, Mr. Lojack.
Okay? So, Councilor Cody, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I'm late coming to the party here, but I did make a site visit out there a week or so ago, and so I'm not sure what the conversation was earlier. But the developer is correct in the fact that he was asked by ISD to come to us for consistency, and when I viewed it, I think I sent a note to everybody that when I looked at the site, I don't see how they could have done it any other way, so it should have probably been in the initial engineering to be done the way they did it, because I don't see how, with the way the slope of the hill is, had they not put those retaining walls in, it just wouldn't have worked.
Are you saying that you would find this consistent?
I would find it consistent.
And I'm hearing from Councilor Harney that as well.
Yeah.
Councilor Auchincloss, are you finding this consistent as well? And Councilor Lennon, you as well? Councilor Schwartz, do you have a sense?
Well, I'm acutely aware of the distinction that I think Council tried to provide us with at the beginning of the hearing, at the beginning of the discussion of this matter, which is that the consistency with the site plan that was passed is probably not consistent, but the overall, I think, goal here to get you kind of in there, I think, is what people are kind of responding to and saying it's not a deal breaker, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to exercise my judgment appropriately, and I think, to be honest, it's not really, as you pointed out a number of times, Mr. Chair, up to us. I think that we can pass along our sense of the committee that this was a real problem that you solved in an appropriate way. It wasn't what the site plan had, so it's not really consistent with the site plan, but we don't have a problem with it. And I think that in his estimable judgment, the commissioner can go with that. I think he's a reasonable man, but it's really up to him to make that his judgment. So I'm going to pass on whether I really think it's consistent, but I understand
why
you did it, and I don't have a problem with it.
Councilor Santiago?
So I just want to be clear, I can't vote on this because I'm not on the committee, but I would just echo what Councilor Schwartz said. I want to make it very clear that this is an exception, that we're not finding this necessarily consistent with the plans, but given the fact that ISD didn't call this out at the beginning, really put them in a very difficult position. And I think that's what everybody is responding to. So I just want to make it very clear because I don't want this to set a precedent.
Nothing we do will necessarily set a precedent, but I think your concern is quite valid, Councilor Sangiola. We are guided by what we've done in past instances, and I think what I hear you saying is if we decide this is consistent in the spirit of it, we don't want that being taken the next time and the next time and the next time. You know, my view is I'm in the camp with Councilor Schwartz. I think you're in a difficult predicament. I'm having a hard time with the specificity of what you built versus what you're given. If one's looking at the overall spirit of what was trying to be designed here, you know, I can find a way to being consistent here with the overall goal. I guess what I'd convey, Mr. Gleba, I think you can convey, and colleagues can correct me if I'm wrong,
that a majority of the committee would find that this is consistent, and I think there's a general consensus among all committee members that the petitioners acted in good faith and tried to do something that made sense within the context of what they had to deal with. Is that a fair summary of where we are, folks? Does that work? All right, so we'll convey that to the commissioner. Mr. Gruber will do that tomorrow morning. Mr. Gruber, is that good, first thing? And then I suggest you communicate with the commissioner sometime later tomorrow. If it goes against you, you do have an alternative. I know it's not your favorite path, but we'll do our best to accommodate you quickly. Okay?
Just one thing in closing, I just would like to say that, you know, throughout this process, there was a number of different requirements, both historical and from the special permit standpoint. And Inspectional Services was fantastic throughout that process, both with open space. We had to do a very specific driveway, permeable driveway, which is not a very common thing that you see in the Newton area. So there was a lot of complicated aspects to this project, and Inspectional Services worked very closely through a lot of those things. So I just want to let you know that they were very helpful.
We're not finding fault with anyone here. We institutionally, we want to understand why this wasn't brought to your attention earlier. That's important from an institutional setting. That's not to find fault with any inspector or anything you did. Okay? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, committee members.
Next, 98-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming front setback at 37 Troy Lane, Donald Fabrizio. This is in Ward 5. Are you recusing yourself? All right. Just for the record, Councillor Schwartz is going to recuse himself from this matter. Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're still good. Councillor Honey. Good evening, gentlemen. Your name and address, please.
Good evening, Chairman, Council members. Ralph Kilfoyle, architect, 825 Beacon Street, Newton Center.
Donald Fabrizio, I am the owner of 37 Troy Lane, and I live at 43 Troy Lane, immediate abutting the property.
Care to explain what the project is briefly, sir?
Sure. We have a proposed new house construction. We've been allowed to tear down the existing house, leave the existing detached two-car garage, and we've been allowed, it's a non-conforming front setback in the existing footprint, which is the upper left on the site plan over there. And we have a proposed new construction, upper right, that has a fair amount of square footage, non-conforming to the 25-foot front setback. Again, we've been allowed to reconstruct the existing house within non-compliance of that 25-foot setback. However, John Lodiak has required that the massing be consistent with the existing house. We're here tonight to propose some relief so that the massing of a proposed new construction that is non-conforming to the 25-foot front setback be slightly higher and a little more generous in volume so that we can practically make a second floor work to a standard 8-foot-0 ceiling height. And there is no proposed finished attic space at all.
So can I just be clear on the relief that you're seeking? You're looking to build within the front setback. Previous house had a first floor in the front setback. You're looking to actually be a little bit further back from the street, but you're going up a story. Is that the bottom line?
We're going up half a story.
We'll call it a half a story. The existing house is basically a two-story structure with no attic space. It had about 4-foot high sidewalls, and then the roof went up. So you basically lost some usable square footage.
One will have what, 8 foot?
8 foot, we'll call it standard 8 foot side, full, all walls from the second story are proposed to be 8 foot tall.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to tell us at this point? You don't have to go on and on. Just,
yeah. I think the lot lends itself
to build a house where it is, to keep the house where it is. It's kind of a odd-shaped lot.
Okay. All right. Why don't we? Is there something else, sir?
That's basically our hardship here. The lot is very challenging, okay. And we can't meet old lot setbacks for a proposed new construction and have a reasonable project.
Okay.
It's just too problematic.
All right. Mr. Gruber, you want to provide us with your observations? I'll then take any comment from members of the public. You can sit down, gentlemen, if you'd like. Mr. Gruber, you want to walk us through?
So, as mentioned previously, approved building to basically extend the non-conforming front setback, meaning to go up. The requested relief then basically extends the non-conforming front setback. The criteria to consider whether the proposed basically extension of the non-conforming front setback would be substantially more detrimental to the existing non-conforming front setback is in the neighborhood. But in context, there is an area map control lane to the right of the highlighted parcel showing the previously existing structure. The site plan, similar to what we just saw, showing the extent of the structure. The previously existing structure looks like this. Then showing that when you see the front, essentially the new structure would go up from the front enclosed porch. And then this shows the previous existing structure's relationship to the street and the setbacks of other nearby homes.
Could you take us back to the previous picture, Mr. Gleaver? So, looking at that picture, is the proposed frontage going up to where the current second floor window is that and how far it's?
Well, especially the boundary here. So to see this gable, rather than the previous existing structure in the type of comparison, it's that.
And is that the roof line or is that the line of the.
So, the new structure that is the roof line or that is the roof line of the previous structure. So the proposed one would be higher as you can see with the data and the picture window.
I need a picture. Could you go back? Thank you.
So,
Tell me where the second story is and where the roof line is on the front part of this, if you would, please.
So, the proposed structure would be built above this enclosed porch and go up higher than the roof line, finishing this photo. Maybe it would be helpful. So, let's look at the elevation of the proposed. So this is obviously the two additions. So again, we have the area being closed porch down. We have that one story area, and then above that, then we have, again, this section near the third, second floor.
I'm having a hard time visualizing this, Steve, but what portion's in the front setback?
Oh.
I mean, everything else is fine. It's just the front setback that we're worried about, right?
So, the setback is 25 feet. If you look at the previous buildings, that front setback was 8.8 feet from the street. The new building, the front setback, would be about 9.5 feet. So it's bigger than the front setback.
But the massing is greater because it's the second floor.
Exactly.
Right? Right. And wait, what I'm trying to understand the second floor, the previous one, it was pretty much of a relatively flat roof. This is now going to be a pitched roof?
I'm just,
I'm looking at this from the street, I'm just trying to understand what I'm going to be seeing.
So you have the second floor above the front porch in the setback.
How much in the setback?
So that is about, so it's more than the amount of we don't have a side elevation, perhaps.
Can you provide us that information?
If you go forward in that PDF, there should be side elevations. And we've replicated that existing first story. That is still a one-story structure. That you called it an enclosed porch. It was formerly an enclosed porch. We're proposing it as full living space.
Mm-hmm.
That is still, say, a buffer to the street at the one-story structure. Then our gable backs up per the site plan. So there's your side elevation. You can see how toward the right of that a little stair shows up. And we've replicated the exact same dimension of that 6-foot, one-story condition. And then, as you can see, there is definitely a full two-story and a half-story above that.
And what was there before?
So there was the one story before and a second story.
Okay.
Again, that trim line, that upper trim line of the roof was approximately 5 feet lower and a different orientation of the roof plane. So that's why our new drawings do look a little different.
Mr. Greaver, go ahead. I'm sorry. Thank you, sir.
So just the material versus the previous existing structure's front elevation, which you can see in outline with the proposed kind of above and behind it. So this is the proposed front elevation in full without the overlay of the previously existing structures. And the garage to the left actually is pre-existing and I guess is now removed.
All right. Colleagues, any questions for the for planning or the petitioner? All right. Seeing none, is there any member of the public who wishes to speak? None at all? All right. I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by President Lennon. All in favor of closing the public hearing. 5 in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Any comments from this, folks? I'm seeing the absence of comment on this committee is usually good. All right. Do I have a motion then to approve if there's no comment? Councilor Lennon, President Lennon's vote moved to approve. Do I have a draft board order?
Mm-hmm.
Could you put it up?
Sure. The city of proposed funding. So if it seems to be going up in substantial and more detrimental, then
the rear setback?
It's sitting in front.
So, not conforming, front setback. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's it. Any other conditions that are unusual at all?
No, just the standard.
Okay. All right. Carly,
so the interesting construction management plans different.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. I have a motion by President Lennon. All in favor of approval? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor, none opposed. It's approved in committee, gentlemen. It goes to the full council in about a week and a half. There's no need for you to attend that. I can't promise you what's going to happen, but if this committee votes unanimously, usually it goes through very quickly, and then you have to deal with getting your special permit recorded. Ms. Khan can walk you through any of the details of that. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Best of luck with your project. Hope it goes well. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, next. 99-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming use in FAR at 49-51. Clinton Place, Ralph Cole. This is in Ward 2. Good evening, Mr. Sachs. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great.
Councilor Laredo. I'm here to represent Ralph Cole. Peter Sachs, I'm an architect.
I live at 2,000 feet. A very simple request here in the back of the house. The current house exceeds the FAR, so one of the relief requests is to expand the non-conforming FAR by 49 square feet. And then secondly, the other form of relief that we're requesting is to expand a non-conforming use. It's a two-family and an SR2. And those are the two requests for relief. And I'll entertain questions from the committee.
Okay. Mr. Greeley, you want to walk through
this? Children? So again, this is in the second floor rear addition. The question of the roof of the third base is to expand that non-conforming two-family use and to further increase the existing non-conforming floor area ratio. The criteria to consider are basically the standard special permit criteria. First of all, that it's an appropriate location, that it's an adjacent affected neighborhood, that it doesn't create a nuisance or change of hazard to vehicles or pedestrians, and the access to the site is appropriate. As for the specific criteria, that it's a proposed entrance at the FAR is consistent with the modernization of the site, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood, and that it's a proposed enlargement of the existing non-conforming two-family dwelling structure and extension of existing non-conforming use with a substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use depending on the neighborhood. This is a picture showing the location of the dwellings that are in the neighborhood of overwhelming residential structures. The dwelling is uniformly SR2, which is a very exception to the public ranch area to the north, northwest. Well, we're seeing overwhelming single family residential, which are three two families around the neighborhood, as well as some institutional uses, including DC Wall to the north, and some religious institutions to the south and southwest. Here is the site plan. Here's the place to the bottom. So the north is to the north of the bottom of the site plan. You can see the extent of the proposed addition in close up. And I note that the addition is only on the second floor. And here's the rear elevation, both existing and proposed. This is the extent of the additions showing that the dotted line. So again, from both of those living space dimensions, this is the right elevation, this is the side where the addition is. Again, it shows the smaller side of the addition going in a dotted line square. Looking further, here's the rear of the home. The addition is on the left-hand side of this existing kind of bump out to the rear of the home. And it extends something like a half like this, and the a part of the two-family dwellings are side by side, so it would be for the left-hand dwelling. And then look, as well, the dwelling side seems to have a screen. This is the view from the neighbor to the right, the dwelling the difference between this and that area.
Thank you, Mr. Reba. Let me see if there's any public comment here. Is there anybody who's a member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Anyone at all? All right. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Councilor Auchincloss moves to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. Public hearing is closed. Any questions or comments from my colleagues on this? Yes, Councilor Schwartz.
And I'm sorry I was out when the presentation was made, but I guess my understanding of the only reason, I know it seems kind of ridiculous, why are we here for 49 square feet? The only reason why we're here is because the FAR to start with is non-conforming, and this is going to make it slightly more non-conforming.
That is right. Why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Anything? Do I have a motion to approve this? Councilor Auchincloss, your ward. Motion to approve. Draft board order, Mr. Kleba. Why don't we, as we usually do, let's just read them to ourselves, and let's go through the first two first. Any questions or comments from the first two? Going over the second two, numbers 3 and 4. I think, personally, in 5, I would get rid of the words given its modest scale. I think we're trying to stick with factual and start the proposed increase. Is that okay with that change in 5, everyone? All right, 6. Again, in 6, I get rid of the modest size verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
To state what the facts are. Okay? Questions on 6? All right, any other findings, Mr. Gruber?
Nope.
Any conditions that are at all different than what we usually have?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have a motion to approve. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. Mr. Sachs, evidence of how we can function efficiently on this committee.
Thank you.
The project. Thank you. Good luck, sir. Hope the project works out well. All right. Next, we have two other items on this evening. The first is 63-17, a special permit to allow a six-unit multifamily at 16-26 Dalby Street, Dalby Development LLC. This is in Ward 1. I believe this is Attorney Morris's project. Is he here? Good evening, Attorney Morris. Is Mr. Daglian here? I'm sorry, John, I didn't see you. So before you start, Attorney Morris, I think colleagues need to know that Mr. Daglian only receives certain documents. Mr. Daglian, maybe you can come up to the microphone so we can get this on the record. Mr. Daglian, when did you receive the engineering plans?
We received them yesterday afternoon at 4:58 p.m. before close of office.
Okay.
And I spent the last 2 hours looking over the plans. And if you want an update, I can give you that.
I would in a moment. I want to be clear what we're still missing. Mr. Kleber, are there still documents missing?
We can see we have a bunch of training radius in the garage. We're supposed to be opening right before the hearing. It seems like they may have a PowerPoint or have a plans.
Okay, but were you given the advance of the hearing?
No.
Okay. I'm personally not going to be prepared. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to be prepared to vote this tonight. I'll go on the record again. I am not going to have staff get materials for the first time a few hours before a meeting or as part of a PowerPoint presentation. They need to be able to absorb this material. So with that, Mr. Morris, Attorney Morris, is there anything you want to tell us about this project that's different than when you were here last time?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, you want to finish my
comment? Why you would take a seat, Mr. Daglian, for just a moment?
Go first. I'll go next.
That's fine, Mr. Daglian. Why don't you give us the results of your review, and then we can hear from the petitioner.
Okay, a week ago we met with the design team, and we went over the engineering memo. We went for item for item, and I'm happy to say they pretty much addressed everything we asked for. And at this point, it's just housekeeping items that I left over. And if I could go through that really quick, I'll...
Please.
Sorry. Technical error. All right, so at this point, Delaney went for a manhole that's missing from the drawings for the fourth main that goes from the garage to our system. An additional impervious barrier is needed for the two front infiltration units. And then filter fabric is needed over the driveway infiltration system. And then, as Michael had mentioned, the turning template to the side of the garage that the planning department was looking for. But from the engineering standpoint, all the plans just need to be finalized and submitted for review.
So, colleagues, questions? Councilor Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Dagman, did you just mention that there was, I haven't seen this, but that there's a connection to the city main?
What it is the...
Just for the over 100 year or whatever?
No, that's totally different.
Okay.
Garage floor is anything that's underground parking. The garage floor is in accordance with the Department of Environmental Protection. They're required to have their floor drains connected to the sanitary sewer system.
Okay.
And they're connecting via fourth main. So we don't allow a fourth main to eject directly to our mains. They have to go through a manhole and then goes gravity. So it's just a minor technicality they have to fix.
But the DEP regulations are so that that water can be
processed treated, right.
Because of a garage might have oil or whatever in it.
Possibility.
Okay. And are we unusual as a community that requires it to go through a storm drain first, or is that very common?
A manhole
or whatever it is.
Surface storm drain is treated separately, and anything in the ground is treated through the sanitary sewer.
That's not just true in Newton, that's what's common.
Throughout the nation, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Colleagues, questions? Councilor Lane?
Mine isn't so much on the engineering, it's just I was hoping to hear Mr. Morris' presentation so we could... I would like to discuss the merits of the project, because I know that there are a number of abutters here, too, but...
I want to discuss the merits as well. I just want to ask another question for Mr. Dagman, if I could. And then we're going to get to the merits.
I did have one question. There was an abutter who was not here tonight who had a question about just flooding down on Garvey Street.
Right.
And what I had mentioned was that... You know, my understanding would be that any sort of water runoff, flooding mitigation on the site of the project would be taken care of. But do you recognize, is there a problem on Dobby Street that needs to be taken care of by the city?
I reached out to the director of utilities and to the superintendent of utilities, and they both indicated that they have no records of any localized flooding in the area. And as far as the development, they're capturing 100% of the runoff and infiltrating it on site.
So it shouldn't be enough.
But there's no impact to any of other work to the city properties.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Dagman, your conclusion that they're capturing all the water is based on your independent review of the plans?
That's correct.
All right. And you're comfortable with the engineering aspects of the garage as proposed?
It's the ones that make that small modification with the sanitary system.
And you're not charged, though, with the turning radii, correct?
No, that's something the planning department and ISD would be concerned with.
All right. Anybody with any other... Yes, Councilor Schwartz, don't go anywhere, Mr. Dagman.
I'm sorry. There's one other point that came up at the last meeting that I guess I've forgotten, and I'm not sure. I think you've already tried to answer it, but there was a concern, if I'm not mistaken, that by raising this property's kind of base,
mm-hmm.
that the properties next to it would now not be above, but would now be either equal or below. And I know with some other projects, we talk about managing the water that's on the site itself, but what about the flows from these other adjoining properties? Does this, by raising it, does that create an obstacle to any of the drainage around the property? Do you have any concerns about that? Because I think that they're raising it by, what is it, 5 feet? So does that impact the kind of water flows on the other properties around this?
No, because I believe the other properties flow either towards the street or to the rear of their lot. So there's nothing flowing through this property to, like, another abutting property.
Even in the current condition?
It shouldn't be acting as a dam.
Okay, but that sometimes does occur if you raise.
Sometimes what happens when you're like in a bowl situation, the topography is a flat, a bowlish area, and you build it up, and all of a sudden the neighbor is now coming against the wall of water, and that has nowhere to go.
And is that something that, when that does happen, is that something that you would be able to identify in advance, like when a project is at this stage, and would you make us aware of that, or would that not be part of your purview?
Absolutely. We do a site visit with every application that's submitted. We go look at the topography at all the abutting properties, and then if there is an issue, we bring it up to light, and it's usually taken care of before it gets to the building permit phase.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Anybody else have questions for Mr. Daglian? Mr. Daglian, you're welcome to go home and do some other things this evening. All right, Attorney Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road in Newtonville, and I'm here representing Darby Development LLC, the petitioner. I would say right off, Mr. Chairman, we're quite pleased that Mr. Daglian was able to attend, and I wanted to open my remarks by basically saying that you have in front of you a point-by-point response to each and every item that was contained in Mr. Daglian's memorandum.
This is when? Today?
This is dated May 4th, Green Tea Porter, and it's a point-by-point response. It basically took Mr. Daglian's memo, and after every point where he raised some question or another, Mr. Porter responded.
Is this in our packet, Mr. Moore? Attorney
Sorry?
Moore? Is this in our packet?
It was it should have been distributed, Nadia, right? Right.
What? The plan is a part of the plan? Is that where it is?
It's only 8.5 by 11. It's a memo form.
A memo?
Yeah, it's a memo.
Am I missing something, folks? Does everyone else have it?
It was in the package. I think the point I want to make, Mr. Chairman.
No. We're going to stop by making sure that we have the material.
Okay. That's fine.
This is in here. This is dated May 4th. This is what was left in our desk tonight, this evening. Is this what was left in our desk this evening?
This was distributed, but we got them.
I'll go on the record. I come here from a day of work. I do my reading over the weekend. I can't read this stuff an hour beforehand and be expected to go through it.
You're not expected to, Mr. Chairman. That's my point. My point is that Mr. Porter took the extraordinary step of responding in writing to each and every point that was contained in the memo. You're not expected to read it.
Submitted, I actually do read it, Mr. Moore.
Well, for example,
that's the whole point.
If I get it
an hour beforehand, I cannot be expected to do my work. Go ahead.
It was part of a package of 7 plans that were produced, and again, Mr. Porter is here, he can speak for himself, but in the interest of time, I will tell you that those plans were changed to incorporate, at this juncture, incorporate every change that was requested by Mr. Daglian. Normally, we simply say we're going to do it, and you put a condition in there that says subject to approval. Well, we wanted to get out ahead of the curve, and so Mr. Porter spent the better part of this week and last producing these plans that incorporated everything that Mr. Daglian asked for, such that he could come here tonight and say that we were compliant. That was the whole purpose of doing that. So the plans you have before you consist of 7 sheets. 2 of the sheets are an existing conditions plan and an area map that have not changed except to have a date.
Attorney Morris, this is what was left in our guest.
And I'm explaining that to you, Mr. Chairman. If I could be allowed to speak, please. There are 7 sheets in that package. 2 of them are plans that have not changed at all. They simply, the date is put on there so that you could reference it appropriately in a board order. 2 of the other sheets are detail sheets, which basically incorporate everything that Mr. Dragon asked for. The third sheet is a utilities plan, but the other 3 sheets, there are no changes to the plan above ground except moving the front retaining wall 12 inches. The only change. There's no change to the grading plan. So we did this in the interest of giving a set of plans that could be properly referenced in the board order. Having said that, I won't say anything else about that. With regard to new information, Mr. Chairman, I would like the opportunity to address some concerns that were put to me and expressed at the public hearing last by several neighbors about the density of introducing a number of vast units into this project. Darby Street, the east side of Darby Street, the east side of Darby Street, which I've shown in this plan is, does my screen work? Can you show it, Charles? The east side of Darby Street. The east side of Darby Street was developed in 1869, uniform 14 lots, all 7,800 square feet. At the current day, all of those lots at one time were built with two-family houses on them, with the exception of one lot, and that's the lot that is the subject of this petition that is vacant. And the average density at that time was 3,900 square feet per unit. What we are proposing on the three lots, which consists of 23,400 square feet, are six units, which is exactly the same density as the historical development of that east side of Dalby Street. Now, exacerbating the density factor on that side, three of those 14 lots have units that exceed two-family houses. One of them has a three-family, one has a four-family, and one has eight units on it, which basically increases or lowers the lot area per unit to 3,425 square feet per unit. So in that context, we are certainly well in line with the density on that street. There's been another suggestion that this is inappropriate, but I point you to the context at the north end of the street. We are abutted on three sides, on the back side by a nine-unit condominium on a substandard lot. On the north side, we are abutted by a commercial car repair facility. On the west side, we are abutted by three lots that contain eight units and an average density of 2,225 square feet. So I suggest to you that somehow that this project is added density to the neighborhood is belied by the empirical facts. Secondly, there has been some suggestion that the people would rather see a two-family house option. Perhaps, Charles, you could bring that up on the screen. So we had our architect basically prepare a two-family site plan and elevation to show you how they would compare with our proposed six-unit development. You see before you a site plan that shows two units on each of the two lots with four driveways. Can you highlight those? Does that pointer work? Is the pointer work? I guess the pointer doesn't work. Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Stephen. There we go. Four driveways, four curb cuts, each having cars having to back out onto the street. You will see that the dimensions here are 12 and a half feet setback on either side, and you can see the volume of the building. These four units comprise 1,268 square feet. They are larger than the square footage that we are putting on the lot in six units, which is 11,608. If you could go to the elevations. Here we have the elevations, two-family elevations. You can see that basically the elevations take up much more of the streetscape. They're much wider across the front. And in the back, now show the overlay. This is an overlay of the two-family footprints over our project. You can see that essentially our units present the face of a single unit to the street. The other two units behind are largely hidden from view. So in fact, as far as the streetscape goes, we believe that what we present to the streetscape is far superior, both in terms of the look of the buildings, creating a similar kind of streetscape, and also the elimination of four driveway curb cuts. The other thing, too, is the fact that there was some concern about putting the parking underground, which is actually quite surprising. One would think you would want to hide cars. If you go up and down the street, you'll see that Dalby Street is complete with curb cuts. Some have two, but curb cuts in every house lot on the street. We basically have a single driveway. Go to our site plan. Our site plan, please. No. There we go. Right, that's good enough. Okay, that's fine. We have a single driveway entrance. There was some suggestion by one of the neighbors that somehow this is a commercial downslope garage and it's somehow inconsistent with residential use. Bring up the slides that we sent. So what we did was besides the three families, the three two-family slides. There they are. Back. Whatever. You can see here, these are all two-family houses that were done by right. This house here is at the top of Pearl Street.
That's the other half of the site. You can see the garage render. This is a two-family house on 80th Street with both entrances to the garage in front of the house. And this is probably the most egregious example at 121-123 Bridge Street, also in Onantum, that has what's close to a 35 to 38 foot curb cut with the parking garage entrances below grade. We would say to you that, in fact, obviously, the garage entrance that we have proposed is certainly far superior in terms of its aesthetics and contribution to streetscape than anything that could be accomplished by right. I think that, Mr. Chairman, having addressed the issues with respect to the density and the issues with respect to the design of the building, the elevation of the building, as you said, was raised because of the high water table. I actually personally went out and measured the first floor. One of the considerations really is the first floor elevations in the neighborhood. Across the street at 2325 Dalby Street, you have a house that's first floor is 6.5 feet. 6.5 feet above the back of sidewalk. You have other properties there that are 4 to 4.5 feet above the back of sidewalk. And that is because all of those houses, in response to the high water table, raised their elevations of the first floor. They didn't raise the grade on the property, but they did raise the elevation. And we think that our solution to the same situation or condition is exactly far superior. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will conclude my remarks. I appreciate the courtesy you afforded me to present this, and we're open to any plans or questions you may have.
So that, just to go back to that last picture, that's what this project looks like, right?
That is what we're proposing. That's our proposal. That's our proposal.
Okay.
You can see that these buildings here actually replicate the existing houses that are on the site right now. These two, and that is what presents. It presents you the face of basically a single dwelling.
Mr. Gruber, do you want to take it up from here?
So basically, the presentation I had is very good at the previous hearing, since we haven't received new info. I mean, different goes to you when we presented before, but again, I do have one question that came up at the last hearing, having to do with the training of radiuses in the garage.
We have a slide for that, actually. We provided turning radiuses, all of the turning radiuses. We have that slide.
Has anybody in our city staff reviewed that?
First of all, the turning radius is allegedly not a public safety concern.
It wasn't my question. Did anybody in the city staff have an opportunity to review?
I have not seen it yet.
Bring it up, Charles. Please. Here we are. Here we have the turning radiuses exiting each of the six spaces under each of the two buildings. The turning radiuses.
So, well, Mr. Gruber, you would review that, or would somebody else from the staff review that?
Yeah, we really can say with engineering. So we don't have that conversation.
We haven't done that, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else that we're missing from the petitioner?
So if you turn the wall, the front has been moved. Presumably they have some impact on the architectural drawings. Not a big impact, but nevertheless they're going to reflect that. And then we can say that that didn't have any impact on the profile of the wall on either side of the driveway going down to the garage, to just make sure we don't have a retaining wall in excess of our profile.
Sir, would you step behind the rail, please?
This is Charles Calhoun, who's a project architect. Charles?
Welcome to come up to the microphone, sir.
Question is whether or not the moving the retaining wall back 12 inches has altered in any way the
the front elevation of your project. And the elevation of the wall within the setback.
Get into the microphone, please, sir, so we can get you.
The elevation of the wall within the setback hasn't changed.
So moving the dependent in the front simply, you did kind of move the wall back and the side walls, the driveway, stay the same, but just shorter because
that's correct.
It's a foot back.
That's correct.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Any other information that we have not either seen or you haven't had a chance to evaluate?
Just those.
All right. Councilors, before I take public comment, I want to hear from the councilors first if they have questions, and then I'll make sure we get public comment. Anyone? Nope. All right. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak this evening? Come on up, please, sir. Good evening. Ma'am, would you just speak? I'm sorry. We'll move the microphone over for you. That's fine. If you could just, we just want to make sure that we capture all the comments.
Good work.
Go ahead, please.
Sorry about that, if you hear my female voice. Anyways, I need to throw in a little bit of humor this evening. So I've had emails going back and forth with the attorney, and he did email me. And then I had some questions, and they were similar to what we had at the last hearing. And his response listed out, which I was very grateful for. You have to understand that it was a little bit of legalese, and obviously I'm not a lawyer, so some of the words didn't really reflect what I needed to say. It was a little bit overwhelming. The counselor followed through and sent me some more emails and clarified, which was really helpful, and I was appreciative of that as well. So for the attorney and some of your comments that I'm just not 100% clear on, and I wanted to take a closer look at some of the issues. So, for example, one of the issues he addressed that he responded to was that I wanted to clarify for the record. He mentioned relating to the neighbors that it was built in 1869 on the east side, and it was substandard individual homes. And that was about 140 years ago. So how can we apply 140 years ago to today's structures? That's something that I just wanted to kind of throw out there. I'm not arguing about how many family units are going to be there on the street and the neighboring homes. I acknowledge that most of the families, you know, that most of those houses are like that. However, six units, and, you know, three and three there on each side. At the same time, counselor was clarifying that the appearance would look better and that there would be more green space and so forth and that the way it was set up. However, my concern is still that the appearance of that garage, it looks like Dartmouth Street, Boston Garage, like that entrance. It's very industrial looking. That's the interpreter's voice, word saying industrial. So he sent me a picture of other homes that had those kind of had garages, and they looked more residential. This garage looks very commercial to me. And that's, when I notice it, that's the first thing that I see is, oh my gosh, it really looks very commercial. The home itself, the homes itself, I'm very impressed with. They're quite beautiful. And I just wanted to point out, I don't know if it's for the attorney or the Mr. Gerson, that there's no record of flooding on our street. I don't know. I'm a human. I have to tell you that my wife and I and our neighbors have seen water rising up on the street. We have seen it. Factually, it is there. I don't know how to prove it and show you, you know, to the city, but it is there. And I also just wanted to point out that you mentioned there was a letter, in the letter to me, that there's commercial businesses, I think it was on the east side of Dalby Street. Actually, I think that's Watertown Street. Already has quite a few businesses right around that area. So, you know, it's fine to say, like, it looks commercial just because there's commercial stuff over there on the west side. However, what that means is that if you're looking, if it's setting it up more and more commercial, it's going to encroach on it and become more and more of a commercial look. So in order to wrap this up, I want to say that I'm not here to oppose the project, but your responses in the email to me were helpful. And I know you're not going anywhere, counselor. I know you're not going anywhere, but the lawyer, you know, he takes his money and he bolts and he's out of here and he's satisfied. So really, so I just want, sorry, my uncle's a lawyer. I had to mention that. So frankly, thank you.
All set.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak? Come on up, please.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Paula Batista, and I did send to you, Councilor Rado, a letter with my concerns, and I hope you shared it with the group. And for the record, Dalby Street continuously flooding every rainy season. So for that is for the record. Is it written somewhere at City Hall? I don't know. But I've lived there my entire life, my family members, and these neighbors as well. So for the record, there is flooding. Secondly, I'm not opposed to adding value to that area. But can we please preserve the integrity of that neighborhood? It is constantly being bombarded by several units of several developers, not just this one, but several in the city of Newton. And it's a sad place for me to see it growing into a metropolitan area when it should be valued for family. And that's my concern, is safety for children, for people. There's too many cars, there's too many units being built in all these lots. My concern is safety. My concern is the disturbances in the ground during construction because of the flooding. And there is flooding. And I hope you'll consider what I wrote in my letter and what Steve had to say and what others have to say. We live there. Attorney Morris doesn't live there. The developer doesn't live there. The architect doesn't live there. Who's Gaglin? I don't know who he is. He doesn't live there. So I hope you understand our concerns. Even though they want to make it bigger and better for their own profit, what about making the neighborhood a safer place to be? Is it zoned for 4 units? Then it should remain for 4 units. It doesn't have to be side to side. It doesn't have to have 4 driveways. They can use the middle lot as 1 common driveway with garages on the sides. It doesn't have to be in the front lot. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. I would urge any neighbors, if you've experienced flooding issues, let the city know that, a phone call or even better, a letter, so that they do get a record of that. That's important. Anybody else wish to speak? Come on up, please, sir.
I don't want to repeat myself, but I do want to address the city. Your name and address,
please. Oh, sorry, yeah.
My name is Richard Bradley. My home address is 266 Cherry Street in West Newton, but I am an abutter, a homeowner, to 3032 Dalby Street, which is to the right of the property. The street does flood. I know the John from the city. He was quite mistaken. That neighborhood is a close-knit neighborhood. It rains, the water goes up, it goes back down a few hours later, a couple hours later. It is a problem. Mr. Morris, he was slightly incorrect when he said all those properties down there were 100 years old. The property I own was built in the early 1960s. So it wasn't built, it's not a 100-year-old property. It's 50 years old now. I find it kind of funny when he goes up there and he puts a slideshow saying, if we can't build this, this is what we could build. Well, if that's what they could build, let them build that. They wouldn't even be here in front of you looking for a special permit if they follow the special permit, the regular building processes. I know it's going to be six apartments with six parking spaces. That's not enough for that street or anybody. I mean, as you know, parking is a concern down that neighborhood. For six bedrooms, you'd need 12 parking spaces. It would take that much to get the cars off the road. And the flooding again is an issue, and the site plan is an issue. And the other thing I have is a question on maybe the city clerk's measure. I know about a month ago there was a hearing on this. I couldn't make it. In this room had quite a lot of people in here to speak. We weren't notified of abutters about this meeting. I don't know, does the city clerk, Mr. Chairman, maybe you can answer, do they send out a notice when there's another?
We don't give notices of follow-up meetings. I apologize. We do try to let people know at the meeting when they show up when the next meeting will be, but we do not. We're not required to legally, and it's difficult for us to do that. But I apologize.
That's okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on up, please, ma'am.
Good evening. I said good morning by mistake. My name is Sabrina Dennison, and I'm Steve's wife. And I just have a question for the attorney here. At the last hearing, I asked you if those six units, which I think is too many, but anyways, are those going to be owner-occupied, or are those going to have renters where it's going to be constant turnover? I'd like a response.
Yeah, so good evening. Dan McAuliffe. I am the builder of that project, and I am not sure that I might rent them or I might sell them. I'm just going to see how it plays out at the end of the deal. So to answer your question, I'm not sure.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to comment?
Just for the record, I did live in Newton my whole life. I live on Jewett Street, and I did live on Dalby Street for 7 years. And the flooding there is like every average, almost most of the streets in Newton. A lot of the times the catch basins get clogged and we don't clean them constantly enough, and that's probably most of the problem over there. So there is flooding, but this last rainstorm, I went down there every day, there was no flooding.
Okay, thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to speak on this matter? All right, seeing none, I'm gonna entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? Councillor Lennon, it's your ward. Motion to close. All in favor of closing? Six in favor, none opposed. The public hearing is closed. Are we prepared to act on this petition, or do you still need that information, Mr. Gleva?
So when it comes to attaining your agencies, I presume since it is done by an architect, with a stamp it, would be presumably easy to just check and buy with engineering to just make sure. They appear to satisfy that need.
Is it done by an architect, Attorney Morris, who's going to stamp it?
Yes. He's the architect, he stamped it.
Yes, Charles Kelvin, I'm the architect, and I have stamped it.
Okay. All right. Councilor Schwartz and then Lennon.
I remember from our last hearing, it's coming back to me, that there was a question about the door, whether the doors of each unit would be, the garage doors would be underground, because I think maybe Councilor Costley told pointed out that that was a little unusual. Is it one door in the front that you guys had thought about changing it to? I forget what the answer to that was.
At the time, he said we could actually put a door at the foot of that garage, one common door for the garage. We can do that.
And would the other ones remain as well, or for the individual garage, or not? Or
The other ones may or may not, depending upon the privacy issues associated for each of the units.
Okay. Because I think that might help with the industrial look to it that I think Steve was pointing out. There's a door on the front that makes a difference.
Councilor Lennon?
I just wanted to clarify for the record, the comment Mr. Bradley made, we are going to have 12 spots in the garage, not 6. There's 2 required per unit underneath, correct? So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that it's not 6, that there are 12 that are being proposed underneath. So we're all clear with that.
Questions? Anybody else? Question for planning and law departments. I know there was a schematic of what a two units might look like, and we don't know what might actually be there or not be there. So we have clarity, because I always like to know what the by right alternative is. Could they build two family units by right here?
They would be re-subdividing, which they can do by right, and turning the 3 lots into 2 lots. They're going to turn it into 1 lot under the proposal, and then they'd be able to build 2 families on each of those lots.
Subject to whatever setbacks are normally required of 2 family units.
Yes.
Subject to curb cut rules and all that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
No, I thought it was important to look at the by right alternative as well. I mean, that was the second packet that we got most recently that showed some of the open space calculations, the lot area coverage calculations, everything that we got in that last packet from Mr. Morris was some of the stuff that I had laid out to the abutters that I thought was helpful to see. You know, in always looking at these projects, trying to understand what the by right alternative is. And I thought it was beneficial, rather than having the surface parking and the more curb cuts and less open space and larger mass on the site, that it would be better to proceed the way that it's proposed. You could move the buildings around if you had two families and move them around, but I just want to have folks understand that most likely these buildings would have garages, which would add more mass to the site. So that's also a concern. So I just want to make sure that we weigh all that when we're looking at it. We've tried this approach on a couple of other projects, even in the area. We've done it on California Street, and we've done it on Adams Street, that it's worked somewhat successfully. I haven't heard any resident complaints, but I just wanted to put that out there for the committee as well.
What it's worth, I continue to struggle with this project tremendously. I am having I understand that what the by right alternative is, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of public benefit here, to be blunt. So
I think if it wasn't your, can we just have the committee even talk about what?
I want to talk about it, absolutely. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. You plan on talking about tonight, or?
Well, it's up to the will of the committee. Are you folks ready to vote on this evening? We'll do it. If you want more time to deliberate on it, we'll deliberate. It's up to you. Are you ready to vote, President Leonard?
I am. I if others aren't and want to discuss it more, or if there are things, Mr. Chairman, that you're saying that you continue to struggle with it, then I'd be happy to talk to the neighbors, talk to the petitioner, and try to
Here's what I struggle with, Mr. President. We are creating much of this issue. We're infilling this lot. We're raising it up 5 feet to create this site. We're putting in a very large, frankly, industrial-looking type garage setting. The only way this works is if they raise the lot. And we're putting in 6 units on what's not otherwise, is otherwise a 1- and 2-family unit streets for the most part, not all. The problem I have is when we do that kind of a change, this is what we've seen elsewhere in the city. We do that change and now the norm is something different. because the next project that comes in says, well, there's six units, there's three units here, and there's three units there. We ought to be able to put three units on the next one. I'd be really interested to find out, and Mr. Gleave, I don't know if you can respond to this, if we were to, you know, we're going to this, we're talking about context-based zoning, that's our new mantra, how would this fit in? How does this fit in with the existing context and form that we have right now? This looks very different to me. So I'm just struggling with it. I understand some of the benefits, I'm struggling with the detriments.
No, it's fair. I just want to put it on the table that if we weren't going to vote tonight, that we can continue to talk about what things people would like to see and work with the petitioner on that and address the concerns of the neighbors.
And I'm not sure, and for me, I'm not sure that anything they do here would alleviate my concerns. Go ahead, Councilor Auchincloss.
Mr. Chair, I'm finding myself coming down on your side on this one. I am generally a proponent of infill density in village centers. This isn't a village center. This is a neighborhood, and it's the format here is, like you said, one and two family, and this is an upzone. And I don't understand the specialness of this. Why it deserves a permit as opposed to just doing it by right?
Councilor Schwartz.
I remain open to this project. I think that there have been good arguments made in favor of it, some adjustments certainly to the alternative by right option that's been put up, although I can imagine that probably, you know, prepare the least appealing alternative. I guess I wouldn't be prepared to vote tonight just because I'm going to now just want to be able to look through what came in today and be able to review it to my satisfaction. So I would have to abstain if we did vote tonight, but we'd probably be able to have a determination by the time of the full council meeting. I mean, I think that to the extent that the project has merit, which it sounds like it does, you know, the thing that's been difficult for me is getting a full understanding of all the details because I haven't had the opportunity to see them all until now.
Councilor Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I share Councilor Schwartz's concerns about reading through the material and understanding it. One thing I do look at, though, with this is that you're basically dealing with three lots in here. They want to merge to one. And if we technically, looking at the neighborhood, and I'm looking at an aerial view here, the various facilities, buildings around it, if you had two units in each of those zones and kept them as separate independent lots, we would be okay with that somewhat. I mean, so it is a 1-2 family by right situation. So we look at six if it could be modified to look nice and fit in, because I understand the concerns the neighbors have with the appearance, the look, and the concerns on a commercial look to the commercial feel. But so I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that I think this could be a good project if we understand the fact that independently, we could still have six units.
You could not.
You can't by right, but I mean by right. But I mean, if you look at the neighborhood and how it's been historically, one or two family, technically, at some point in history, it could have been built that way. So
not in that, well, maybe 100 years ago, but ever since the advent of the zoning code, I don't think you could have put another two family in there.
Well, I just view the size of that as if you look through that neighborhood, you see a lot of, there's like a two family tucked in here, a three family here. And I don't see six as being too far out of line for that amount of square footage. But I'd like to see more of it also, you know, more detail.
Anybody else? Councilor Harney?
I just shared the concerns that Chairman Laredo and Councilor Auchincloss have expressed. That's kind of how I feel. You summed it up.
I personally would not want to act this evening. I think in fairness to my colleagues and the petitioner, I want to personally deliberate on the materials more, some of which we just got today. I do want to vote this out, though, in the near future. I do not want to drag this out. So, Ms. Khan, if we were to put this on for another hearing, when could we do it next? Which is a lighter load for us. But that delays it another couple of weeks. Are you folks, I don't like to delay people. I think we're going to vote them, we vote them. Are we comfortable doing May 23rd? Are we comfortable that folks will have enough time to analyze this? Okay.
Could I only ask that if colleagues have questions about it, because I think I heard around the chamber that there was some merit to it, if there were, so we could work with the neighbors and work with the petitioner about ways to do that, if folks had some input versus the buy right options. Do you know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. I think I'm hearing that there's, at least for me, there's not much that the petitioner could do that would alleviate the concerns I have, which are with the very nature of the project. But I'm going to give that some thought, Mr. President, because I think that's a very fair and appropriate request. And certainly if colleagues do have other things, maybe if they could talk to you, Mr. President, since you're the ward representative, and then direct those to Mr. Attorney Morris, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I was unclear. That's what I meant. That if colleagues had input, you'd like to hear. But if we're talking about coming back on the 23rd so that we could talk to them about how we could improve it, but then also get materials back in a timely fashion so that you can
review. If people have suggested changes, I'd urge them to get that to the petitioner in the next couple of days, okay? Because it's not fair to ask them to come back with revised plans or revised other things, you know, with 2 days' notice. That's not fair to them. Okay, Councilor Schwartz?
Just two more comments. One would be, I do agree with President Lennon that, you know, as with many other projects, the more that we can do through special permit where we have some control, some leverage, some at least ability to mitigate some of the impacts versus a by right, I think there's a lot of value to that. So that would be an argument in favor. I do think, though, any changes that are made between now and our next hearing, I really would urge the petitioner to try to get them to us by the time of the Friday packet so that we can all be able to be completely ready to discuss it and ask questions at the hearing.
Okay. All right. So do we need a vote, Ms. Kahn, to postpone or not? All right. So a motion to postpone to the 23rd.
It's just to hold it, right?
To hold it. I'm sorry, to hold it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Motion to hold.
All right. All in favor of holding it to the 23rd? We'll take it up. Is there a problem with that date?
You closed the hearing, so there's no vehicle by which we can present additional information.
Would you like me to entertain a motion to reopen the hearing?
Yes, absolutely.
Fine. I'll entertain a motion to reopen
the hearing.
All in favor? Hearing's reopened. You'll have an opportunity to speak, and members of the public will have an opportunity to speak. All right. Now I'm going to have a motion to hold it. President Lennon, all in favor of hold. Michelle, thank you, Attorney Morris, for bringing that to my attention. We'll see you on the 23rd. Last item for the evening, folks. 97-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming use at 966 Watertown Street, BR Sound Corp, Stephanie Oliveira Diaz. This is 966 Watertown Street, Ward 3. Could you just give us a moment?
Thank you.
sorry for that brief interruption. Attorney Bookbinder, is this your project?
Yes, it is.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stephen Bookbinder. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Schlesinger and Bookbinder, with offices at 1200 Walnut Street in Newton Highlands. I'm here this evening representing petitioner B.R. Stone Corp., and I'm going to be incredibly brief. Also with me tonight are Donald Lang, our project architect, Mark Laredo, who represents the ownership of the building, and Franklin Schwartz and my associate. The property, which runs from Washington Street to Watertown Street, is located on a 13,408 square foot lot in a Business One zoning district. This request relates to the portion of the building fronting on Watertown Street, numbered 966, which contains 6,562 square feet. Since 1946, this site has been used for wholesale business purposes, and the city has acknowledged that that use is legally nonconforming. The petitioner is a marble and granite countertop wholesaler. Its business model also requires some minor stone cutting and fabrication on site. The Commissioner of Inspectional Services has determined that this accessory cutting and fabrication would be considered a manufacturing use under the zoning ordinance, and that brings us here this evening seeking a special permit pursuant to sections 4.4.1 and 7.8.2C2 to allow accessory cutting and manufacturing on the site. This is an extremely low-key operation. There are approximately 5 employees on site at most times, and no more than a few visits each day from third parties. This contrasts to the prior plumbing and heating company use, which generated a fair amount of traffic and activity. The planning department memorandum notes a few concerns respecting code issues and noise. In terms of the code issues, Don Lang, our architect, has submitted a letter stating that the proposed use meets all necessary code requirements. A copy of that letter was attached to the planning department memorandum as in your packet, and Mr. Lang is here tonight to address any questions you might have. He's also satisfied, I'm told, by Mr. Gleba, the concerns of the fire department, who have acknowledged to Michael that Donald's analysis is correct in all regards and that the system's current system meets all code requirements. In terms of noise, I previously filed a letter from David Bresniak, who operates the funeral home next door. In that letter, Mr. Bresniak confirms that there's no noticeable noise coming from the building and that the petitioner's business is actually less impactful than the previous wholesale tenants that had occupied the site. We did have a site visit to which I invited the three counselors from Ward 3. Councilor Cody did join us for that site visit. We actually had a demonstration of the cutting at that time, and Councilor Cody stood with us both inside and outside, and I think he'll confirm that there was no noticeable sound coming from the outside. I do know that when Mr. Gleba conducted a site visit last week, the garage door to the building happened to be open at that time. That makes the noise a bit more noticeable. We've discussed with him a condition in the board order that would require that at times when cutting occurs, the garage door would remain closed. That's really all I have to say.
Good. Thank you. Mr. Gleba?
So this is a request for special permit to use a portion of a living and office building wholesale site to cut and fabricate stone countertops and this is a further extent to non-conforming use to include manufacturing. So the request we need is a special permit to extend that non-conforming existing wholesale use to include stone cutting. The state of the criteria to consider includes what's on the screen now, whether the site is an appropriate location for the stone cutting and fabrication use, whether the stone cutting and fabrication use as developed and operated, they would basically affect the neighborhood.
Just as it will not, it will missing a nod, I would think.
There would be more nuisance if there was housing to vehicles or pedestrians, whether access to the side of the fence is appropriate to reduce the number of vehicles involved. Whether the stone cutting and fabrication use would be substantial or not, more substantial and more detrimental than the non-conforming use is to the neighborhood. This is a kind of darker style area here, the properties in yellow, close to the intersection of Washington and 25 and Grand Grand Street to the north. This is an existing zoning. We do see residential to the north and northeast in a very close hat. The blue is a business zone district in which the decision property sits. We also see someone going to the south and the west, and there is business two, a little bit to the east and southeast, and the title is somewhere else. And it is really used to be showing a mix of commercial mixed-use and very similar and multi-family residential. Again, most of the residential to the north and northeast, and most of the commercial uses to the south. And the residential based on across the street, almost cattle corner to the south, and then the larger residential district to the north. Based on the floor plans and showing the outline of the buildings and its location between downtown and Washington Street, this would address the pretty unpaved, David's Court, this is the east of the site. This is a slightly curved section of the portion of the building, which is the subject of the petition, downtown should be to your left. And this is the north half. The building is about 6,600 square feet. And the current fabrication would be in the large square section of that building. You do see the two garage doors, one here, one here, that would provide access into the building. Here's a photograph of the downtown street facade, again showing the two garage doors. The one to the left and the facade is open. The one to the right, this is closed. And then here's a super curb cut on the vehicle access to the property in the two trucks here. This is a new slide to the west and the right. And this is the view from David's Court, which is north towards Washington Street. And that's what David has.
Great. Do I have any members of the public who wish to be heard on this petition? Come on up, please. Good evening. Just state your name and address and keep your remarks about 3 minutes or so.
I will keep them short, thank you. My name is Paula Rorlich. I live at 73 Davis Avenue. I'm an abutter to this. I had sent, I think, everyone in the committee an email about a week ago expressing my concerns about health aspects of this project, and I'm looking for your help on that. Stone dust is a serious health concern. It is carcinogenic, according to OSHA, although I realize that the architect had supplied a letter explaining how they use water in the process of cutting the stone dust. There was no addressing the fact that it lingers in the air, according to the New Jersey Department of Health. And as someone who lives within 300 feet, I'm very concerned. When I walk by, sometimes the doors are open, sometimes they're closed. I got a tour of the facility, and I was told by the young woman who works there that the fire department had said anytime they're using the forklift, for example, the doors of the garage must remain open, so that carbon monoxide doesn't build up. So it means anytime they're getting delivery, and any other time they feel like it. I passed by Friday afternoon, 4:15, the doors were wide open, it was a lovely day. Forklift wasn't going, but the sawing certainly was. So I also am concerned about the idea of allowing manufacturing in this area, which really is residential and business.
I worry it opens the door to other factories opening up. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Come on up. Why don't we get the people in the front row first? We'll move back. Good evening, ma'am.
Tatiana Sukova, 9534 Town Street. My house is a short house on a residential area, the commercial. So I took a couple of days off just to listen how, just to make sure about how it's noise around going. So both day what I was off, door was open in garage during the full day, all day from beginning to end. It was two Fridays, and noise is very, you know, noticeable. So not all day, but whatever they start to cut stone, it's noticeable. So plus I have the same concern that Paula just now mentioned. So about pollution, what it can be from stone, and about manufacturing our commercial, you know, close commercial residential area. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please come on up, sir. You, and then we'll go to the next person. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Greg Dorsey. I live at 77 Davis Avenue. I'm reading my notes here on my phone. Forgive me.
It's okay.
I'm a small business owner, and oftentimes I am pro-business. And in this case, I'm not pro-business for the following reasons. This particular space has been a wholesale business, quoting, I believe it was Attorney Bookbinder. And since 1947, I hope it remains that way and stays wholesale and doesn't turn into a fabrication. We want to make sure that this area doesn't turn into an area that can have more factories. I don't want this to set a precedent for factories. So my concern is that while this is supposedly going to be low-key, the fabrication equals manufacturing. Previously, this was a plumbing supply, and we didn't have any concerns with a plumbing supply. There was no issues. There was no fabrication. We require the garage doors will be closed, said Mr. Bookbinder. But who will make sure the garage doors are closed? When I go by the business, I notice the garage doors are open. On a Saturday, I go by, the garage doors are open, and I see trucks backing in across two lanes of traffic with their stone backing into the garage doors. So the reasons that I disagree with allowing this special permit to allow the fabrication, turning this in from wholesale into fabricating, is for three main reasons. One, the noise. The noise is loud now. What's it going to be like on hot summer days? When if the garage doors are open now, they're going to be open every day after, and especially, as Paula mentioned, my neighbor, for the carbon monoxide. Second, safety concerns with trucks backing across two lanes of traffic. I was walking to CVS with my 4-year-old and 6-year-old at the time. Number three, for the fabrication. Having a factory within 300 feet of residential, I don't think is appropriate or should be allowed. So for those three reasons, I'm against this project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Come on up, please.
Hi, my name is Alex Piscola. I actually live at 953 Watertown Street. And a couple issues why I'm against this. So, first of all, this property is much closer to residential area than these photos make it seem. In fact, if you take that angle, turn it the same amount of degrees in the opposite direction, you start seeing two or three houses already. And our house is also, was incorrectly mapped as one of the blue houses, like a CX that should be greater. And in my opinion, this manufacturing facility would be too close to residential areas. And so far, I haven't noticed much noise from this one. However, there's a noise alarm that's very sensitive, apparently, in that building that has gone off several times with the previous tenant, and I personally filed a noise complaint against it. My concern is that with dust particles or other things in the air, that sensitive alarm might go off more often.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to comment?
I just want to add, I've heard that
sir, I'll let you comment again. You've got to come up to the microphone, please.
I just wanted to add that I heard the cutting in my backyard on a Saturday, and so I just wasn't sure if I mentioned that when I was speaking earlier. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment at this time? All right. Questions or comments from my colleagues? Councilor Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So first, to get on the table, I'm a neighbor also to this facility. So these are all my neighbors here. And I just want to comment on a few things. So Attorney Buckline is correct. I did go out to the site about 2 or 3 months ago now. And so under perfect conditions, it seemed to be fine. So, but we're having a problem with that. What was mentioned today is also what I've observed. So the comments I made at the time of the site visit were that I'm concerned with the air quality, but it's a water-cutting type device. So there's not a lot of dust in that, but there is concerns with silica and stuff like that with the dust. But my take on that is OSHA would have to be satisfied, you know, within their facility, the cleansing and stuff like that, but it's water cool. But so the question that comes down to the noise is a low pitched noise. So when the machine's running. So unfortunately for my years, and Council Officer Clark can appreciate this, years of being in helicopters and stuff, my low pitch hearing is kinda gone. So I don't necessarily hear that as much as everybody else would who hasn't been in helicopters for about 20 years in the Marines. So consequently, with the doors shut, you don't hear noise outside the facility. And I'd gone to all the neighbors around, so some were home and some weren't at the time I was going over there. So with the doors shut, but the doors are not shut that often. And that's a huge concern. So if as mentioned by a few of the residents now, if we're in the middle of this whole petition to get this approved and we're not complying with what we would say we would comply with, then what happens if we approve this? Then who comes in? Then, you know, I don't want them subject to having to call ISC every Saturday afternoon to say that, hey, look, you know, once again, the doors were open, dust was coming out, and the noise was, you know, we could hear the noise coming out the back. So that's a huge problem. And then the traffic flow issue, because I sat down and observed this, and the vehicles do come in, and I understand you can't control drivers coming in and out, and it's something that maybe they would need to get some kind of agreement with the police about, like which way they could enter and exit the property or whatever, but they do come out, spin around, do multiple different directions coming out of Watertown Street. They happen to see a gas station right there. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic. A lot of people park there to walk into Westminster Square. So there's a lot of activity going on. These press officers are just like spinning out and going different directions. So what I'm wondering as I observe this is if this facility is becoming more of if they get a great, fabulous machine. So I can see that it would be an appropriate location to bring a lot of cutting that you may need done. So I'm wondering if this is going to become more of a destination for people that require specialized stone cutting because of the quality of the machine. So a disclaimer is I can't vote for this either way tonight. I would abstain because of the fact that my location has to file paperwork and all that stuff to disclose by residents. However, those are the concerns that I would have, and my colleagues should be understanding, is that the air quality issues, I'd have to be satisfied with the OSHA side of the house, that with these doors open, how are we cleansing this, making sure that it's not coming out? I don't know how we police the door issue as the other one, and then the traffic issues. So those are big concerns, which all make it why you typically don't put manufacturing in a residential neighborhood. So.
Thank you, Councilor Cody. Others? Councilor Schwartz and Lennon and Schwartz.
So I apologize if I missed the site visit or an invitation and one. I've been a little busy the last couple, 5 months. But
we'll excuse
probably be busy the next couple months too. But I'd love to. The question I had was, would it be possible to see a video of what the actual stone cutting looks like if we couldn't all get there? Because I was under the assumption that the stone cutting was done like in a water-based machine. Like, am I wrong in understanding
you
that?
I'm not...
So that there would be no dust or less noise, but if that's not... Forgive my ignorance, I apologize.
I do think it might be helpful for us to actually see the site. I'm not sure I want to get them to go to the expense of producing, you know.
You don't have to produce a.
Well, he's not going to produce low quality stuff
for the stone cutting.
He's going to get a whole AV squad in there. This is not going to be a schleppy operation. So I'm not, all kidding aside, I'll leave that to him. But why don't you respond, Attorney Paul?
Sure, no, I appreciate it. But first of all, I'll be very, very clear, very honest. Until tonight, we had not heard any concerns with that noise. I didn't get the letter which the neighbor wrote. Sometimes we check with the clerk's office, but we didn't get it. But now that I've heard these concerns tonight, I'd like to suggest a couple of things. First of all, I think on the air quality issue, which I think is a legitimate issue, I might suggest that we ask the health department to weigh in on that. We're happy to set up a site visit for the health department, happy to set up a site visit for the committee, happy to invite any of the neighbors who want to come, and I am happy to do a video for Councilor Lennon and others. We can do a video. It is a relatively low-key operation. With respect to the garage doors, again, we didn't know that this was an issue until Michael called, I think it was Friday or yesterday. Once we heard that, I spoke to my client, you know, and they assured us, and I said to them, the rules, if this is approved, and we don't know it will be, the rules are when the forklift is running, you can't cut. If you have to open the garage door for a livery, you can't cut. So I do think we can put measures in place. The enforcement, I would just submit, this is no different than any special permit we have. Councilor Cody was right down the street. I'm sure if this is violated, we'll hear about it quickly. But I'd love to continue this. Work through the clerk's office, have a site visit, do a video, and get help.
I think that would make... Councilor Schwartz, do you want to say something before we... Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that... For better or for worse, I haven't been in helicopters for 20 years, but I've been in hospitals for 20 years. So the health concerns that were raised, I think, certainly made me concerned about if this use is going to be allowed, we use our leverage to ensure that the proper and very effective, hopefully, measures that exist in the industry for this type of work are instituted so that there won't be any chance of there being a negative health outcome. And I think that's what we're just starting to hear from the petitioner's attorney. And whether it's the Newton Health Department or whether it's any other kind of special knowledge body that can give us that assurance, that's what I would require before I could extend the use for this. I understand that this is accessory to a wholesale use, so it's not that they want to create a factory, at least that's not the understanding that I have. That could be made clearer as well. This is all, you know, incident to selling an item, perhaps to fit it into somebody, you know, to cut it to scale or whatever. But so fabrication of the, you know, major huge materials, I hope would not be what's intended here. It's just probably fitting it to a certain customer's needs. But even that amount of manufacturing use, I think, should be carefully regulated to the extent that the proper safety and health measures are taken. So, you know, we've just spent a year and a half to 2 years on leaf blowers, and I just, remind my colleagues how hard it is to enforce these health concerns. Like, you can't call ISD, they're not going to show up every moment, the police close the doors as soon as somebody complains. You know, they don't know. When the police come, they can't cite you. So we really have to build it in to our order in an enforceable way that's fail-safe so that if we do allow this, the neighbors are not going to be negatively affected.
So let me... Oh, Councilor Hines, go ahead. Sorry.
Just a couple of questions. Maybe for Wida or maybe for Michael. So fabrication and cutting of stone and marble is an allowed use in a manufacturing district. That's correct?
Yes, it's considered a manufacturing use, yes.
Okay, and the second question is, in the report that we got, it said that the Commissioner of Inspectional Services has determined that the accessory stone cutting is considered a manufacturing use and requires a special permit. I'm just curious as to what brought this to the attention of the Commissioner of Inspectional Services. How did he get involved with this? If we know. Were there complaints, or what was it?
Okay. My understanding, please correct me if anything I say is incorrect. My understanding always was that, no, there was never a complaint issued that Julio or folks from the business went over to ISD just to talk about the stone cutting and the methodology and the equipment they were using to be sure everything was on the up and up. that triggered a discussion which led to an inquiry, and Mr. Donato called me and I contacted ISD and we determined that they needed a special permit for this use. But they actually brought it up.
Okay, and do we know if there are any other non-conforming manufacturing uses in the immediate area? Or maybe Councilor Cody knows. Right in this area. No, but in your area, right around here. Well, maybe Mr. Gleaver knows. Is there any other manufacturing allowed anywhere?
Yes. I think there's no manufacturing area right
now.
No.
Nothing that constitutes a manufacturing beyond us in the area shown on this map.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Would Councilor Hardy talk about manufacturing? We have manufacturing down the other end of Watertown Street near Adams, is manufacturing down that way. That wasn't very nice.
Let's not get it. We're trying to build one city here, folks, so let's stick to the topic. So let me see. I'm not going to take any more public comment right now.
Excuse me. You're letting others speak. Why wouldn't you allow...
Sir, he's a petitioner. Public hearing's not closed. You'll have opportunity to speak next time. I'm going to try to wrap up for this evening, okay? So let's talk about how we're going to proceed next. I certainly want to have the health department consulted and talk about the best methodology for coming in and reviewing the safety features in terms of the cutting. I think that was clearly articulated. That's what Dr. Schwartz recommends, and I think that's acceptable. Second, I heard from you, Attorney Bookbinder, that you're very happy to open up some session, not just for the health department, but for the neighbors, and any member of the committee wishes to be heard or be there. And what I suggest is maybe before you leave here this evening, you gather the names and email addresses of the folks who are here. If they want to be present, you communicate with them, and we try to set up a time to do that. Third, I think we need to hear much more clearly the procedures and protocol for noise and how, I think, I can't remember who said it about our board orders, but we do not want to be calling ISD on a regular basis. So what protocols will be put into place to contain noise within the confines of the building? Have I covered everything, colleagues? Anything I missed? I think... Councilor Schwartz? Pardon? Sure, I'll take anybody else who wishes. Sir, if you want to speak now, come on up.
I'm just wondering why we're even considering allowing fabrication within 300 feet of a residence. We don't have any other fabrication there. We've established that. Why are we even considering allowing it?
I think the short answer, sir, is it's something that we can do by special permit, not a matter of right, and it's within our discretion to allow it, and we're trying to understand if we allow it, what safeguard, first of all, is a safe practice from a pollution standard. We have a concern about that. We need that addressed. Second, what are the noise impacts? And then, with that, armed with that information, we're going to make consider judgment and vote on it. Okay?
Thanks for the explanation. I just ask that you keep the fabrication in a factory district. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And let me be clear, the public hearing is not closed. When we take this matter up again, members of the public are welcome to speak at that time. Councilor Schwartz?
Actually, that just reminded me that I did have a question, which I think has been answered, but I just want to make sure with legal... So what would trigger a need for like a variance versus a special permit? I mean, so if there's a manufacturing use in a district that's not a manufacturing district, we can still allow that? We don't need to have a variance?
No, the reason you can allow it is because what you've got is a non-conforming use currently.
So that might be helpful to clarify for this gentleman.
You have a what currently?
You've got a non-conforming use currently. So what our zoning ordinance allows you to do, as you know, is to expand or alter the non-conforming use in some way. If there was not a non-conforming use and there were only by right uses there, it probably would require a variance. So it's a different standard because of the fact that it's existing non-conforming use.
So I think that's very helpful. I hope that that might help answer the question from the public, sir. If this business came in and there had never been any wholesale use in that area before zoning, which is what, 1922, then this wouldn't even be an issue. They wouldn't be able to be, at least here, to ask for this. But because there's currently a non-conforming use, they can extend it. But we don't have to, but they can ask. And we have to give them a problem.
We have had other non-conforming uses in business districts which pre-exist where people come in and ask for different relief. And again, it's a discretionary decision within the special permit criteria. Okay, we're going to hold this. When do we want to put this back on? June 6th? Do you think we'll be able to get help in there and do our work by June 6th?
You know, I'd love to say yes. I just think it's tight because we've got Memorial Day coming up. And
so then we're talking June 23rd? No? We're not anything else in June? Do we have a busy night that night?
Yeah.
All right. If we push this into July, is that going to be a problem?
It's okay with us, and I will be sure that my client complies with the ground rules on the garage doors and the internet. I could try for June 6th, but I just think knowing we have to do a video, site visit, health. I want to actually consult a noise consultant.
You have to do the video.
If you do it a site visit, you don't have to do it. I was just trying to make it easy that you could show what the cutting was for everybody.
Why don't we do this? Our meeting in July, our first meeting in July, Ms. Khan, is the 10th? 11th. Right. We're going to put this on then for July 11th. Okay? I realize it's the summer. I know people have vacation schedules. We're just trying to juggle things, frankly, Councilor Schwartz.
Just to be clear, between now and then, if there's cutting being done, is that something that is only going to be done with the door closed?
I am going to expect that if there's any cutting done, it is done with the door closed. If there is a problem, I am sure the neighbors have Councilor Cody's phone number and will be very happy to give him a call. And I'm sure you will. And I'd encourage you. And I think, Attorney Bookbinder, you know the rules well enough that you'll have the appropriate conversations with your clients. Okay? All right, we'll put this on for July 11th. Thank you all very much. Do we need to hold this item? I need a motion to hold the item. Can I have a motion to hold the item? All in favor of hold? 5 in favor, none opposed, 1 recused. Okay? Held to the 11th. Thank you all very much. We are concluded for the evening.